You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Welcome to this edition of Baptist Messenger Vidcast. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host, and I am thrilled, honored to be joined with Walker Moore, who has now been writing with the Baptist Messenger for 20 years. In fact, Walker, I have here in my hands a proof copy of your 1,000th column with the Baptist Messenger. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I didn't think I'd make it to number two, let alone 1,000. So, yeah, it's kind of a shock to me.
How did you get started writing with the Baptist Messenger?
Well, I've written over and over again. I'm not a writer. And one day, the person who was writing an article in that spot quit, and they called a man named Rusty Kennedy and asked Rusty, could he write this article? And he said, well, there's a guy in Oklahoma right near you who had just written a book called You Wanna Pierce What? Getting a Grip on Today's Family. Won't you have him see if he could write one? So they called me and asked me if I could write one. And so I wrote the article, the first article. Then they said, well, can you write another one? We're looking for somebody else to fill this slot. And it's kind of like asking somebody to substitute in a junior high boys class till they could find a full-time teacher. And because you know they're never going to find one once you step one in there. So 1,000 article, 20 years later, I'm still waiting for them to find somebody to fill that slot. So
that's amazing. Well, you know, your columns have a way of speaking to the heart. Of course, you use humor and biblical insight and wisdom, but it's that heart-to-heart communication. How has God given you feedback and blessed you as you've written, and how does He give you inspiration for that?
Well, I usually say sleep deprivation. Also, you know, growing up, it's a difficult life, you know. I grew up wearing hand-me-downs all my life, and all I had was three older sisters. So you have to find humor. You have to find somewhere you have to look into life and say, where can I find the light, the joy, the humor? Now, actually, I'm the oldest of four boys, but, you know, it's still life. You can look at life two ways. You know, you can look at the dark side of it, or you can look for the good light that's there. And just follow that, and it will give you peace and joy. So I just, you know, every day I try to find something that makes me laugh and makes my family laugh. My family doesn't laugh at my articles. They groan. I know every time I read it to them, I say, what do you think of this? And the more they go, groan, and, oh, you know, and my boys, oh, Dad, you know. And I go, it's a good one then. You know? So the more they groan, the better the article is.
That is awesome. Well, you've covered just about every topic under the sun, but just each week, such fresh inspiration. I've often said that you have the evangelism of Billy Graham, the storytelling of a Paul Harvey, but the life circumstance, and I mean this as a compliment, of Forrest Gump. God has put you just around the world. I don't know how many countries you've traveled to, but just He always seems to have you in the right spot to make Jesus ministry. What has that been like?
I don't understand that, because I don't seek these places, you know, and, you know, being in front of the president of Hungary, or, you know, in a jungle somewhere in a tribe, you know, or being captured by the rebels of the Ivory Coast and all the things I've been through. And just as I walk life, you know, and follow Jesus, I find myself at the most unusual crossroads of life. And even when I started writing this article, the internet just started. I mean, my first article was sent in by internet, and we just got a computer, and it's just the first thing. And back then, we just had DOS, and I mean, it was just new thing. So when I was overseas, I was living in Romania, and I had to send an article in. And so I went to the University of Timisoara, and I asked them if I could plug my computer in to send this article in. Well, they had a three-hour staff meeting debating on whether I could put my computer, plug into their system there, because my computer was more powerful than the government's at that point. I guess my laptop was. And they said, no, I couldn't. So I had to walk 5 miles to find an internet cafe and plug it in so I could send the articles in. And for 8 weeks, I walked 5 miles one way to plug in, to send my article in, and then walk back. So it's just been, you know, a journey. I've written from the jungles. I've written from the Ivory Coast when it was in civil war. I've written from four corners of the world. And so these articles, and I haven't missed a week. in 20 years. So,
yeah, it has been incredible. And to see week in and out, we take some polls of our readers. What do you turn to first in the Baptist Messenger? And every time it comes back, Walker Moore's column, it just, you keep everyone interested. And I know you even say you're not really a writer. You don't call yourself a writer.
I don't call myself a writer.
That is amazing to think of your consistency. But as a writer, you do have books. You've written numerous books. And then you have a new one coming out. And I was hoping you could tell our listeners about the new book.
Well, the new book coming out is called Chicken Lips, Snake Legs, and Jesus. And it's 37 stories that have been collected through the 20 years of the Baptist Messenger articles. I get mail every week. I get email. I had a lady write me last week, and I should have brought it and read it to you because it was funny, the things they write to me. She says, I love your grandchildren's story. She said, but the story you write about being on the mission field is much more funnier. Well, I agree with that. My grandchildren's story moves the heart and talks about them. But so I have picked out 37 of the best read articles, the one I've had most response from the readers, and put them in a book form for them.
And that book will be promoted in the Baptist Messenger. Mm-hmm. And how will people best get a copy if they want to go ahead and pre-order or order that?
Well, they can order it online at walkermoore.org. And it's special for the Baptist Messenger this time because the book will not come out publicly till the fall. So this is a pre-release for them and to enjoy before anybody else gets it.
Well, and I was able to preview part of a copy. I love the stories. You always have these interesting titles like Bob Loves You or There Are Stupid Questions. It's just a funny way. Are there any stories from the book you could maybe share or recount?
Well, I had a lady write me again last week saying, I'm missing an article. Can you send me a copy of it? And she said, it's the funniest one, but it's also the one that Chuck Norris' mom calls me about. For instance, we had, I was living in the jungle with the Kunud tribe, and in a little village that just had this primitive huts and stuff. And so they brought out something to eat, fish and some cream corn. I love cream corn. So I ate it, and I asked, can I have some more? And they brought out some more. And after about my third helping, they just kept on bringing out. It says, you're making our senior adults lady really happy. And I said, why? It says, they're the one that creams the corn. And what they do, they have these ladies that have no teeth, and their job is to cream. So they put it in, cream it up, spit it back in the bowl, and that's what they call cream corn. So these ladies been back of the hut chewing up and spitting the bowl for me to have cream corn. So that's been one of the story I write about. And she says, I missed that article, so can you send it to me?
Well, and something I love, of course, you know, a lot of what you hear on Facebook is the mad, sad, scared, and everyone's lecturing everyone. You give us a laugh, and then there's always a wisdom point at the end where you bring it home, and you are always talking about Jesus. You just keep bringing it back to Jesus. Why is this term Jesus ministry so central to your life?
Well, because first of all, he changed my life. I would not be what I was doing because, you know, most of my life I've been told not to speak, not to write, get a job at McDonald's. But when Jesus came to my heart, he changed my life and he gave me a purpose. And my purpose was not to do my thing. He said when he left, he said, I'll give you the Holy Spirit and you will continue my ministry. And that's to evangelize the disciples. So I've just taken on Jesus ministry, and I don't work for First Baptist Church or anything like that. I think every believer needs to do Jesus ministry.
Yes.
And so if I can do Jesus ministry through this article, then I can absolutely help, you know, people with that, that I'm going to do that. So,
yeah, amen. You know, each week, the Messenger, we put our pages out on a board, and we do our editing, and really, it comes together on a Thursday morning before we send this to the printer. And without fail, every week we hear chuckles, out loud laughter, and we think someone's editing Walker's column taking a look just each week.
It needs editing?
Touche.
Yes, it does.
You know, Walker, when you think about society today, occasionally you've taken on really serious topics. You hit on the patriotism note. You took on the biblical sexuality, the transgender topic. What are some issues you think that the church should be dealing with? And you've been around young people a lot. What sort of challenges are you seeing there, and for families?
Well, first of all, I think families have outsourced everything for their children. If you want to have fun, you take them to Six Flags. If you want them to have a religious experience, you take them to some youth group. If you want them to, be involved in sports, you take them to a soccer club, and the family has outsourced everything, and we need to get back where it's the family doing things together, not outsourcing your kids to everything in the world, and we just need to take responsibility. One of the things about living in the jungle, I need to know who is using the river upstream, okay? Because whatever happens upstream always comes downstream. And we're trying to change our family by changing the government. If we vote for this president, then our family is going to be better. If we vote for this governor, our family... No, you can't do... That's all downstream. Because when our family's broken, then our church is broken and the country's broken. It's not to solve the problem of the country. That's not our problem. It's not about politics or president. It's not about our churches being broken. It's about the family being broken. And we need to get back to repairing our family, or we're not going to have we can't say God bless America anymore, because we're heading on the path of destruction.
Yeah. I love your books. Your Rite of Passage Parenting is one I come back to again and again for those lessons. Could you tell our viewers just a little bit more about your family, your kids, your grandkids? I know they get to read about them in The Messenger, but tell us about them, and we'd love to hear that.
Well, I'm married to the most beautiful girl in the world. Her name is Kathy, and I was her youth pastor when she was growing up. So I think that's outlawed now, but she was a senior in high school, and I was a freshman in college, and she got out and started college, and that's when we really started dating. But I was her youth pastor, and we've been married 44 years, and we have two sons, Jeremiah and Caleb. Jeremiah is a coach in Dallas area. He's the one that helped me carry the cross up Mount Kilimanjaro.
Yes.
And then my youngest son, Caleb, is a pastor in Benone Church in Catoosa. And then I have two grandchildren, Titus the Honorable and Cohen the Good-Hearted. And so they are 4 and 2 now. So they're the joy of my life. They live 1 mile from me, but they're moving this week, 15 miles from me, and I'm having a hard time with that.
Oh, wow.
That's 14 more minutes. I have to wait till I get to see them. So I know that's not far. Most grandparents have their kids live all around the world, but they've been living very close to us, and they're the joy of my life.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that. You had a recent article about your grandson and when he had done a sin, a no-no, yeah. And what did God do through that? Can you remind us of that?
Yeah, children are innocents. The innocence is just something really incredible seeing a child. They run around the house naked. They don't know they're naked, Titus had taken a battery tester from his other grandfather and didn't tell his grandfather he took it. He stole it, and they were driving home, and he just came so burdened about it. He told his dad, I took Grandpa Wayne's battery tester. And then he came to my house and confessed to me that he did that. And I was trying to share with him that, and he really was repentive. He confessed to his father. He did, and he was taking it back to his grandfather to make restitution for it. At 4 years of age, I saw that guilt and shame on his life. And, we're not made to carry that. God did not intend in the beginning for us to have guilt and shame. But when sin came into the garden, those things happened. Guilt says, I've done something bad. Shame says, I am bad. And when those two come together, a person's life is locked into this devastation mode. And so I was telling him, like the battery tester, test what's good or bad. And when you think about sinning, the Holy Spirit even begins to say to you, that's wrong, don't do it. And you need to learn to listen to that and avoid those things that cause your heart to think that way. So it was just a time for me to talk to him, and I don't know what a four-year-old can understand, but we'll find out down the road.
Amen. Your very first column, 1998, parenting teens. Grandparents are the downfall of America. And you had a humorous take about how grandparents are so central to the family, the extended family. Take us back to that original theme.
Well, I have been doing research and found out that, parents are law. You know, sit down, shut up, you know, eat your food, you know, make your bed, and grandparents are grace. And if you looked at the old Walton TV show, you would see that the grandma and grandpa lived in the house, and when John Boy got in trouble, he'd be on the front step crying out, come grandma or grandpa, sit down, reminding him of his worth and value. And there had been a shift in grandparenting. All of a sudden, grandparents are living longer, they have more income, and they said, you know what, we've done our job, you know. It's your kids. We're selling the farm. We bought a Winnebago, and we're on our way to Las Vegas. And grandparents are not pouring into the kids the grace that we used to have. That was very normal of growing up. And so I was talking about when there's no grace and only law, you have a rebellious generation. So our greatest need for our children is for that grace and that grandparent in their life. They have a very significant part in helping that child to grow and to become a wholesome person. So when grandparents quit being grandparents, then our generations start taking a downturn. And downfall of America is grandparenting. So I know I get sometimes slack for saying that or a hit on that, but it is true. If you don't have a grandparent in your children's life, which we did, and our grandparents lived 400 miles away, 200 miles away, we had to put substitute grandparents in their lives that really put grace into them. One of the best things I ever did for my children.
You mentioned a minute ago the Kilimanjaro cross journey, which was truly one of a kind, and then recently your trip to Israel. Could you touch on what you were intending to do with your sons with those moments?
I think it's the obligation of the father to speak into their son's blessing, one in their early life when they're stepping into manhood, the rite of passage, then when they get older. My oldest son was 37, my youngest son was 38 when I took them on the second father's blessing trip. And I took my oldest son to Mount Kilimanjaro and realizing that this father blessing first has to be a journey where we spend a lot of one-on-one time together. We spent 7 days hanging on the side of a mountain in a tent, carrying a cross. And, we set the world record for climbing the highest in the world with a cross to 19,341 feet. But the object was not only the cross, but for me to speak into my son his blessing and give him a special gift, a knife that was given to me when I did my first speech. And then just a few weeks ago, I took my youngest son to Masada, which is on the Dead Sea, which is the lowest place on the earth, 1,300 feet below sea level. And he and I climbed Masada, and I gave him the father's blessing on top of that. Neither of my boys knew I was going to do that. And I think it has really marked their life somewhat of their father and them in that journey. And at the top, what they expected was enjoy the beauty and the scenery. But they got more than that. They got the father's blessing.
Just from you doing that and reading that, you have inspired thousands of people to pour into their families and to see the influence they can really have.
That's doing Walker, Jesus ministry.
1,000 columns. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. From all our readers, thank you for your faithfulness in using the words God had given you. And we pray continued blessing on your column. You can go to BaptistMessenger.com and read it each week or subscribe to the Messenger and call us at our offices at 405-942-3800. We would love to help you get Walker's column each week, Rite of Passage.
And Walker, get the book too.
And look in the coming issues of the Messenger. We're going to be talking about, give us the title one more time.
Chicken Lips, Snake Legs, and Jesus.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Well, Walker, thank you for coming on the vidcast and taking time with us today.
Thank you for having me.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at BaptistMessenger.com.